Prva knjiga Mojsijeva, 19. glava, od 15. stiha da čitamo. A kad zora zabeli, navališe anđeli na Lota govoreći, ustani, uzmi ženu svoju i dve kćeri svoje koje su tu, da ne pogineš u bezakonju grada toga. A on se stade ščinjati, te ljudi uzeše za ruku njega i ženu njegovu i dve kćeri njegove, jer ga beše žao Gospodu, i izvedoše ga i pustiše ga iza grada. I kad ih izvedoše napolje, reče jedan, izbavi dušu svoju i ne obziri se natrag i u celoj ovoj ravni da nisi stao, beži na ono brdo da ne pogineš. A Lot im reče, nemoj, Gospode, gle, sluga tvoj nađe milost pred tobom i milost je tvoja prevelika koju mi učini sačuvavši mi život, ali ne mogu uteći na brdo da me ne stigne zlo i ne poginem. Eno grad blizu, onamo se može uteći, a mali je, da bežimo onamo, ta mali je te ću ostati živ. A on mu reče, eto, poslušat ću te i zato, i neće zatrati grada za koji reče, beži brzo onamo. Jer ne mogu činiti ništa dok ne stigneš onamo, zato se proza onaj grad Sigor. I kad sunce ogranu po zemlji, Lot dođe u Sigor. Tada pusti Gospod na Sodom i na Gomor od Gospoda s neba dažd od sumpora i ognja. I zatr one gradove i svu onu ravan i sve ljude u gradovima i rod zemaljski. Ali žena Lotova beše se obazrela idući za njim i posta slan kamen. Dobro sam želeo da pročitamo u našem prvom čitanju iz reči našeg Gospoda, a sada pred svetim licem Božim da se spustimo na molitvu i hvalu Bogu. Gospode Bože svemogući, sveti i uzvišeni care nebeskog carstva, koji si iz tih nebeskih visina poslao na nizinu zemaljsku jedinorodnog sina Tvog, pred svetim licem Tvojim Bože, mi slaba deta Tvoja i narod Tvoj siromašni, priklanjamo kolena svoja, Tebi nebeskom Ocu našem se molimo i od Tebe želimo Bože, da Ti duhom Tvojim svetim budeš prisutan u sredini našoj i na svakom mestu, o Bože, gde se Tvoje sveto i očinsko ime priziva, u iskrenoj i časnoj veri svetih praotaca, proroka i apostola, veri u Gospoda i spasitelja našeg Isusa Hrista, koga si nam poslao iz nebeskih visina. O milosti Bože naš, koji si u tim starim vremenima poslao anđele svoje da izvetu Lota i porodicu njegovu iz grada kojemu je pretila strašna propast. Ti si, o Bože večni, učinio još mnogo veće čudo dobrote i milosti u ovo posljednje vreme, duhom Tvojim svetim i rečju večnog života, koji si javljao preko Tvojih svetih proroka na mnogi različite načine u vremena stara, Ti si se u posljednjak ovih dana javio u Hristu Sinu Tvome, rečima Novog Zaveta, rečima svete i žive istine, koje razgone tamo ovoga sveta, javio si se našim slabim srcima. O večni Bože naš, Tvorče i svedržitelju duša naših, kada su anđeli sišli na Vitlemske poljane da objave rođenje Hrista Sina Tvoga, ta svetlost nije obasila carske palate, niti tvrđave vojničke, nego tu poljanu gde su pastiri čuvali svoja stada. O milostivi dobri Bože naš, tom svetlošću sa visine, tom dobrom i radosnom vešću, da se rodio spasitelj sveta i da su otvorila vrata večnosti svakome koji veruje u Hrista, o svemogući Bože, tom naukom, čistom i svetom, Ti si obasio i naša slaba srca. I zato, o Gospode Bože večni, kao nekada vitlejmski pastiri, koji su se vratili natrag hvaleći i proslavljajući sveto ime Tvoje za sve divne reči i znamenita dela koja si im objavio. I mi sada spustili smo se na naša slabačka kolena sa svima svetima Tvojim skupim skupljenima i na nebu i na zemlji i sa mnogobrojnom vojskom nebeskom. Tebe, o Bože večni, obožavamo. Tebi, Tvorcu i Svedržitelju našem, prinosimo glas zahvalnosti od naših slabih srca. O večni Car nebeskoga carstva, hvala Ti što si nama otvorio vrata tog nebeskog carstva i nas u Hristu Sinu Tvome pozvao i stane iz mraka našeg neznanja, iz stanice greha i večne smrti, da kroz Hrista pođemo putem večnog spasenja i nasledimo život večni. Gospode Bože naš, Tvorče i Svedržitelju naših duša, mi ne nalazimo reči zahvalnosti kojima bismo mogli dovoljno izraziti svu Tvoju ljubav i dobrotu i Tebi, Tvorcu i Otcu našem, zahvaliti za dar milosti i za tu blagodat Tvoju, Bože večni, koja nas na putu spasenja održava, koja nas, o milosti Bože naš, u veri i duhovnom životu svakodnevno obnavlja. Oče naš nebeski, u našem slabačkom srcu mi ne osjetimo dovoljno ljubavi, zahvalnosti, dovoljno revnosti i vernosti za sve što si Ti učinio za nas, da bismo Tebi pripadali celim srcem i svom dušom svaki dan i svaki čas našeg putničkog tečaja. Ali Ti, o milostivi Bože naš, u današnjem danu, kada smo pred svetim licem Tvojim sabrani oko reči nauke Tvoje, kao oko hleba života koji si nam podario u Hristu Sinu Tvome, za koji si rekao, o Oče naš nebeski, da koji od toga hleba jede, neće gladovati, i koji pije iz Tvoga izvora, neće žeđovati, da Ti, o Bože svemogući, u milosti i dobroti Tvojoj, iz Tvojih prebogatih riznica pružaš svaki potrebni dar, izviraš Tvoje prebogate blagoslove na narod Tvoj i decu Tvoju. O Gospode Bože naš milostivi, sveti i uzvišeni, Car nad carevima, Ti si Gospodar nad gospodarima, jedini, živi i večni, svemogući Bog, Bog pravedni i jedini Spasitelj naš u Hristu Sinu Tvom. Oče naš nebeski, pred svetim licem Tvojim mi se poklanjamo i Tebi zahvaljujemo. Primi prinos zahvalnosti od slave dece Tvoje, Bože, i kroz Hrista Ti učini da i naš prinos nađe mesto pred svetim licem Tvojim i da Ti bude mio i ugodan, jer od naših slabačkih srca, Bože, mi Ti prinosimo glas zahvalnosti, znajući i verujući, od Bože, da si Ti Otac naš nebeski, koji nikada ni jednoga između dece Tvoje i naroda Tvoga ne ostavljaš i ne zaboravljaš. Pa i u današnjem danu Ti nas vodi na Tvoje jedre i zelene paše, vodi nas po kraj te tihe i mirne vode, vode života, pored reke blagodati koja teče od prestola slave na visini i napaja i natapa duše naše, o Bože. Ti učini da i mi iz tih reči nauke Tvoje se učimo i da ne zaboravljamo, o Bože naš milostivi, kako si nas iz duboke jame našeg neznanja izvadio, kako si nas izveo i izbavio iz strašne tamnice greha i večne smrti. I Ti ispunjavaj srce našu zahvalnošću, da možemo Tebi, Tvorcu i Otcu našem, prinositi prinose koji su Tebi ugodni, u duhu i istini Tebe obožavati i Tebi se moliti, o Bože svemogući, da bi molitve naše i naši prinosi zahvalni bili Tebi ugodni. Oče naš nebeski, Ti nas vodi i čuvaj. Ti, o Bože naš svemogući, učini da kad smo pred svetim licem Tvojim sabrani, da Ti budeš svagda u sredini našoj i da reč nauke Tvoje bude kao izvor žive vode, kao reči koje su tekle sa usana našeg Spasitelja i ispunjavale novom nadom i novom verom one koji su željno slušali. Ti učinio, Gospode, Bože naš svemogući, da ova sveta i živa reč nauke Tvoje u današnjem danu bude narodu Tvome kao onaj hleb koji su gavrani donosili sluzi Tvojemu proroku Iliji. Da nam ta reč nauke Tvoje bude kao mana koja je silazila i pokrivala zemlju, a sinovi Izraeljevi su skupljali u sudove svoje i hranili se time. Učiti, o Bože svemogući, da Tvoje očinsko staranje za nas, nas podsjeća na onu palicu, svešteničku palicu Aronovu, koja je preko noći napupela i procvetala i plodove na sebi imala. O milosti Bože naš, neka i Tvoje staranje za nas, Tvoje ljubav i Tvoje milosrđe na nama i u nama donesete duhovne plodove, plodove mira, plodove ljubavi i milosti, plodove svetog i čistog života, plodove prave pobožnosti, te duhovne plodove Bože večni, koji svedoče da nas Ti vodiš putem večnog života, putem spasenja u Hristu, Sinu Tvome, te plodove nam daruj Bože, kojima se ime Tvoje proslavlja. Gospode Bože naš, sveti i uzvišeni Care nebeskog carstva, učini da Tvoje carstvo bude i u našim srcima, da volja Tvoja vlada ovdje na zemlji kao i na nebu, i da milosti Bože naš usred vreva ovoga sveta u našim srcima bude Tvoj sveti nebeski mir, da bude srce naše, o Bože svemogući, stan Duha Tvog svetog, mesto gde Duh Tvoj sveti vlada i odakle se čuje glas Tvog svetog istinitog svedočanstva. Kao nekada, o Bože svemogući, što si dao da se načini kovčeg zaveta i da bude ukrašen spolja i iznutra, da bude ispunjen Tvojim svetim svedočanstvima i da se iznad toga kovčega nalazi presto milosti, odakle se glas Duha Tvoga čuo, gde si se Ti, o Bože večni, javljao kada se unosila krv paskalnog jagnjeta u znak i svjedočanstvo da kroz krv Tvoga jagnjeta narod Tvoj si izveo iz kuće ropske, iz zemlje misijske i da ih Ti vodiš u zemlje obećano. Blagi milosti Bože naš, tako u sred divljine ovoga sveta i u sred vrega ovoga veka, o Oče naš nebeski, neka budu srca naša kao kovčeg zaveta u kome su smeštene zapovesti Tvoje. O Oče naš nebeski, u kome se nalazio sud sa manom nebeskom, da i mi možemo tako, Bože svemogući, u sred ove divine ovoga sveta biti živo istinito svjedočanstvo one unutrašnje lepote Tvoje svetosti, da možemo, Gospode Bože naš milostivi, skromnošću, tihošću i krotošću svedočiti pred svetom ovim i svetiti u tami ovoga veka videlom večnog života, da možemo, o Gospode Bože naš milostivi, pokazati u skromnosti, u tihosti i u poniznosti šta je lepota, šta je bogatstvo Tvoje blagodati, o Gospode, koja od grešnika stvara naslednike nebeskog carstva. O milostivi Bože naš, to Tvoje sveto svedočanstvo Ti i u današnjem danu objavi, Ti u današnjem danu, Gospode Bože svemogući, probuđuj srca i krepi duše. Ti, o Gospode Bože naš milostivi, daruj Tvoj strah koji udaljuje od greha i od sveta, Tvoju milost koja nas privodi ka videlu večnog života. Ti daruj tu blagodat, o Bože svemogući, koja obdaruje spasenjem i Ti učini, Oče naš nebeski, da iz svakog naroda, iz svakog plemena, od svakog jezika, koji prizivaju ime Tvoje, da nađu spasenje i milost u Hristu, Sinu Tvom. Ti u današnjem danu, o Bože svemogući, probuđuj iz sna smrtnoga, Ti podiži iz mrtvih, Ti, o Gospode Bože, raskivaj okove i oslobađaj duše na svetlost poznanja Tvoje milosti, Ti vodi. Ti, o Bože, leči bolesne, krepi slabe. Ti, o Gospode Bože, isceljuj gubave i slepima vid podari. A Ti, o Bože, učini da svako srce u kome Duh Tvoj sveti nastava bude stup Tvoga svjedočanstva, tvrđava Tvoje svete istine, da mi svi budemo nazidani na putu spasenja hodeći, da budemo nazidani na tom kamenu preugalnom, izbranom i skupocenom, da nastavamo na toj gori našega spasenja, da živimo u Hristu, Sinu Tvome, na slavu i hvalu Tvom svetom i očinskom imenu. Blagi i mnogo milostivi Bože naš, Ti u današnjem danu daruj, o Gospode Bože večni, i u današnjem danu Ti podari to duhovno stanje i duhovno osjećanje koji Tebe traže, da znaju kucati na vrata Tvoje milosti, da bi im se takva vrata širom otvorila, iako su posljednji dani i posljednje vreme. I Ti učini, Bože, da oni koji Te traže, da Te nađu, i onima koji Te prizivaju, Ti se javi. Ti podari pravo pokajanje, potpunu promjenu i prelaz iz starog života u život novi. I Ti učini, o Gospode, Bože svemogući, da ta pobjeda Tvoga duha i reči nauke Tvoje u srcima onih koje Ti obraćaš Tebi, o večni Bože, da ta pobjeda bude potpuna. Ti učini da svi koji se imenom Tvojim nazivaju budu mrtvi grehu i svetu, a živi Tebi, Bogu i Otcu našem nebeskom, u Hristu, Sinu Tvome. Oče naš nebeski, delo milosti Tvoje Ti svesno privedi dobrom završetku i u potpunosti i u celosti ostvari Tvoju svetu i savršenu volju i učini, o Bože svemogući, da ta sveta i časna krv Hrista, Sina Tvoga, nas učini čistim od svakog greha. Pa kada sav zbor naroda Tvoga i celokupni broj dece Tvoje bude spreman da Te dočeka u svetoj krasoti, o milosti Bože naš, Ti onda zatrubi tom posljednjom trubom ispod neba i učini kraj grehu i bezakonju. Iskupi narod Tvoj u one blagoslovene stanove gdje će se ime Tvoje proslavljati kroz svu večnost. U našem drugom čitanju ljubazni želim da nastavimo na 27. stihu i da pročitamo do 30. stiha na našu nauku i utvrđenje našu veru našeg Gospoda. A sutra dana rano ustavši Avram otide na mesto gdje je stajao pred Gospodom i pogleda na Sodom i Gomor i svu okolinu po onoj ravni i ugleda, a to se dizaše dim od zemlje kao dim iz peći. Ali kad Bog zatiraše gradove u onoj ravni, opomenu se Bog Avrama i izgleda Lota iz propasti kad zatr gradove gdje življaše Lot. A Lot otide iz Sigora i stani se na onom brdu sa dve kćeri svoje, jer se bojaše ostati u Sigoru i živjaše u pećini sa dve kćeri svoje. Dovde sam želeo da čitamo u našem drugom čitanju. Dear beloved, as we look into this chapter 19 of the book of Genesis, the book of creation, we see that there are many, many people, perhaps millions of people, many nations living there. And as we focus on the valley of the River Jordan and the land of the Philistines that is right next, we can see that the multitudes of people live there, and the moment is coming that a terrible destruction, awful destruction, will be hurled on the cities of the plain, and no one knows. It is very interesting to think about that, beloved, that except the Lord had told to Abraham, no one would have known until the moment, until that night when the destruction took place. Abraham was the only one, and today also, beloved, millions of people are living, and the day of the Lord's judgment and the destruction of this world is coming. It's coming fast. It's going to take place very soon. Only the true and sincere friends of the Lord are given that information, that warning. And now there is a godly man. His name is Lot. He is living in Sodom, in a godless, awful place. Lot is not enjoying sinfulness of Sodom, and yet Lot did not find in himself that much of spiritual strength and zeal to leave Sodom. Even after the first warning, when the Lord allowed Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities of the plain to be conquered by the other kings, and Lot was taken captive, and then Lot was liberated, delivered by Abram and his neighbors. Even then, after that, Lot continued living in Sodom. And the hour of destruction is coming, and Lot, being a righteous man, a man that did not enjoy the awful sins of Sodom, Lot is still lingering there. He knows nothing about the destruction that is coming. What is more distressful, that Abraham had no way of telling Lot that the destruction is coming. There was no communication line between the two men. Why? When Abraham lived separated from the rest of the world and kept his household in the covenant of circumcision, their language became different. Their thinking was different. Their understanding was different. When Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, his understanding and his language and his thinking became different. And there was no one language between the two households anymore. Even when they were together, they couldn't find the same language. There were strifes between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Abraham. So Abraham said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between us, for we be brethren. Separate thou from me." And so Lot took his journey towards Sodom, and Abraham decided that he will live a separated life And that tells us why there were strifes between the shepherds. Even in that beginning, they had different desires, different goals. And now, Lot is, and his family, they are in Sodom. The destruction is coming. It's a matter of days. And then, hours. Nothing can stop there. God did say, if there be 10 righteous people, that God is not going to destroy even the sinners for the sake of the righteous. But there are not 10 righteous people in Sodom. Now how? How do we know which are righteous? Who are the righteous? We find that Lot was righteous. He was the only one in his household that did not willfully, deliberately sin. He was very slow to obey the word of God. He was very patient, dangerously patient with the sinners, with his own living among the sinners. And yet, we don't find ever Lot initiating sin, starting something that was sinful on his own. But he was so weak and so careless that he often was driven into sin by the others. It's a very low degree of righteousness. So, Lot is not aware of the serious danger that is coming upon him. And there came two angels to Sodom one evening. Somewhere far away, our father Abraham is thinking about Lot. Perhaps praying. Maybe offering sacrifices. In any case, we know that Abraham had a very grave concern for Lot. We see that in the last verses of the chapter 18. Now the day has come. The last day of the existence of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Seboim, four cities of the plain. And that is the fifth city, Segor or Zoar. And the name of that city means the small one. That city is slightly further away from the four major cities. And among the five cities, Sodom is the greatest and the most sinful city. And then, the last day of their existence has come, and the last night started. Two angels, in appearance of two men, two passengers, came to Sodom that evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Apparently, Lot was a man recognized as a man of dignity. He was among the counselors or the rulers of the city. Apparently Lot had no major influence, for the city just continued in their sins. And yet, as many believers nowadays, Lot apparently enjoyed being among the rulers, having their reputation as being one of the dignitaries of that city. It is much better for a true believer to be in the chains and in prisons like Paul the Apostle, or to be despised and rejected, one alone building the ark of the, for the salvation of his household like our father Noah, or as in those days the case was, being one alone like our father Abraham and his household, far away from the sinners. When last saw the two visitors, he rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. That is very reverential. Obviously he realized that these strangers, two persons, two men, are not similar to the sinful people of Sodom. On the other hand, I wonder, beloved, if the rulers of the city were any better than the citizens. Why would the citizens have the rulers that are different than the citizens themselves? And if Lot was among the rulers of the city, then probably he was reverential and kind to everyone. In this case, Lot is showing reverence and respect to the strangers. And Lot said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways." Obviously, Lot is not aware whom he is inviting to be his guests. On the other hand, we see that Lot is treating these strangers in a very similar way as Abraham treated when the three persons that came when the Lord visited Abraham and told Abraham what's going to happen to Sodom and the other cities of the plain in the chapter 19. And they answered to Lot, "No, we will abide in the street all night." They don't want to be a burden to Lot. They don't grab that hospitality right away. They, in a way, refuse to accept it in a modest way and manner. But he pressed upon them greatly. So they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. What do we see here? Lot was not hesitant to open his home to the strangers. He was not hesitant to prepare a feast. He was very kind to them. He was happy. He was glad to offer hospitality and to entertain the people that were not like the sinners of Sodom and Gomorrah. In Lot's heart, there is a desire to have fellowship with the righteous. But that desire is not strong enough to separate Lot from the sinners. They did bake unleavened bread and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young. All the people from every quarter. Could it be that some of the rulers were not there also? The same ones that were sitting in the gate of the city together with Lot. For we read here
all the people from every quarter. We remember, beloved, when our Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, and then later on, the wise men came from the east and inquired in Jerusalem, in the palace of Herod the king, was the king of the Jews that was born. There was a great commotion. Herod and all his supporters and all his opponents were disturbed. It would have been an awful thing for them that a real king be born. They would rather have the slavery they had. Because Herod, the king, was not a king, he was a slave. Pilate, the governor, was not a governor, he was a servant. The priests were not the priests, they were murderers. The Pharisees were not the pure ones, as they called themselves, they were filthy. Everything was perverted. And yet somewhere there, under a fig tree, we find a man praying, and the Lord said, there is a true Israelite in whom there is no guile. Perhaps one could say for Jerusalem, just as the Lord said to Abraham for Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities, there are still some righteous, and as long as that be so, he's not going to destroy the city. So, we see here that the whole people moved, just as in the days when the wise men came to inquire about our Lord Jesus and his birth. The whole city of Sodom is moved against that light that is shining at the moment in the house of Lot, two strangers, two messengers of God's truth. We know what happened, that Herod sent his soldiers and they killed all the children, hoping that somehow the newborn king of God's people is not going to escape. They were wrong. These people of Sodom surrounded the house of Lot and did not leave any way for the strangers to escape. They were wrong. They called Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out to us. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. Lot did not trust them. He did not believe them. But Lot is used to be very patient and even kind. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Now this may look very strange to us, that Lot would apparently sacrifice his two daughters for two strangers. Actually, the hospitality, the rules and laws of hospitality were so strong in those days that Lot is using these words to say how important to him it is to protect these strangers that came under his roof. We remember in the book of Judges, before the destruction of the tribe of Benjamin, how one Levite traveled and he did not want to go to the nearest city to overnight, even though the day was ending and the sun was down already,
The night is coming. In outside, in the wilderness, there are beasts and evil men. But he didn't want to go to the nearest city, that is the city of the Gentiles. But he went to Gibeah of Benjamin, because they were supposedly God's people. And there in Gibeah of Benjamin, he had a very similar experience as Lot had this night in Sodom. God's people, but not godly. They were not the people of God. They had a name, but they were sinful. At that night, the host of this Levite said the same, very similar words to the people of Benjamin, Gibeah of Benjamin. And he said, I have a daughter. I'll give you my daughter. Just don't touch this man. He's my guest. Did the man give his daughter to those wicked men of Benjamin? No, he did not. Those were figurative words, a style of speech. It's a good question if Lot really meant to give his daughters to the wicked men of Sodom. But in any case, he tried to persuade them. Brethren, do not so wickedly. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one came to sojourn. He's a stranger. And he wants to be a judge here. He's going to give us a counsel. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. This threat is serious and real. Whenever a believer is trying to establish a relationship of brotherhood with the sinners, he may end up in a worse situation than the sinners themselves. Very awful, very threatening. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. What happened? They were fighting for the door. Lot tried to keep them back from the door. But then the door opened. And the two angels put forth their hands and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. There was no more communication line between Lot and the sinners. They smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Can you believe that? Even when they were blinded, they still were trying to find the door. And that tells us how blind sinners are in their lusting after evil. And then the two men, two angels, said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Why are the angels talking this way? Did not the Lord know that Lot had no sons? God knew exactly how many people there were, what other relatives Lot had, where they are. Why is the Lord talking to Lot as being a stranger? Lot was not close to the Lord. Lot was very distant. Lot was very close to the citizens of Sodom. And then they say plainly, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord, Jehovah, has sent us to destroy it. Now, this was shocking. So Lot quickly went out, and he spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. If Lot talked to his sons-in-law before,
If they knew about the faith of the true God, God of heaven and earth, they would have known what Lot is talking about. But this is something new. He seemed to them as one that mocked, making jokes, humor. So Lot came back. He couldn't find one language with his sons-in-law, and so he lost his two daughters that were married. He came back, and the night is passing, and the morning arose. Then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here. The other two are lost. Too late. Lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. Now we see why there were two angels. You see, God is always preparing all that is necessary, and never less than necessary. In that big ark that Noah and his family prepared, according to the commandment and instruction of the Lord, there was enough room for all the creatures and for the 8 family members of Noah's family. The ark, that ship, was huge, and there was sufficient room for the 8 family members. There was no room for all the others that did not want to believe the word of God. So what happened? One angel with one hand took Lot by hand, and with the other hand Lot's wife. And the other angel was leading two daughters of Lot, and the angels dragged them out of the city of Sodom, just minutes before the destruction. And Lot was dragging the time and waiting and lingering and delaying until the last moment. And now they set him and his family without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord." What do we see, beloved? Lot is pleading, Lot is begging, Lot is asking, Lot is just not doing what he is told to do. And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life." He seemed to be appreciative. He is thankful for all that is done, but he is not zealous to obey what is commanded. "And I cannot escape to the mountain." He knows better than the Lord. That's Lot. "I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die." What kind of a righteous man is that? The way of salvation is threatening with death to him. And he, Lot, seemed to be seeing a refuge place somewhere else, not on that mountain where the Lord sent him. And Lot keeps on talking. "Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither, Is it not the little one? And my soul shall live. What is he talking about? Because that city, Zoar, is a little one, is not as big as Sodom. There are fewer sinners, not as many sinners as in Sodom. So he will live. What kind of a thinking is that for a Christian, for a believer, for a godly man? Surprisingly enough, Lot was given permission to go there. He said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city, for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither." Therefore the name of that of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. At that moment, when Lot entered into Zoar, the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. What happened? Everything was destroyed. Men, animals, buildings, fields, vineyards, orchards, everything was destroyed. But we see that Lot and his family were safe only while the angels were holding them by the hands, by their arms. After they were let go, and they were supposed to flee as fast as they can and not to turn back to look what's going on with Sodom and Gomorrah, not to question the word of God, Lot and his daughters went on, but Lot's wife turned back, and that was sufficient to turn her into a pillar of salt. It came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered whom? Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. The time is gone for this passage that we read to share from. It is the desire of my weak heart and the prayer of my soul. The Lord will bless his word and grant us much more than what I was able to share with you in this limited time and my great weakness.